For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
We continue on. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete, AM 570 LA Sports. Big victory by Felipe last hour.
Controversial victory by Felipe.
No, I would say, I mean, it was pretty sad that at the end of the day, and you were handicapped, to be fair.
A little bit, yeah.
Felipe won Know Your Squad, which was Know Your Teammates.
Yes.
Ronnie was the spoiler at the end. If Ronnie hadn't done it.
Ronnie was a spoiler, but I would say this, you know, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, you know, the names you read off were like Jimmy Bomboso or, you know, Keith Thomason that nobody knew. You rattling off Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Troy Aikman. I mean, I did play with some quality big-time teammates, so, you know, it was a little bit easier because you didn't pick the obscure teammates that I had.
Who was Jimmy Thomasoso?
Jimmy Thomasoso, he made it to week one in Philadelphia. You know, he used to sell pies in Philadelphia. And a longtime guy, worked at one of the local pie shops right by Vet Stadium. Always hovering around practice. They gave him a shot one time. He's actually pretty good. And made it to week one, and everybody loved him. He was like the team mascot at that time. But didn't make it after week one.
So he had one weekend.
Yeah, had one weekend.
All right.
He brought us all pies, though, Fred.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. That's what you call them in Philly. They don't call them pizzas. You call them pies.
Oh, I thought you meant he was making, like, Marie Callender
pies. No, pies, Fred. Pizza. Pizza pie.
Oh, okay.
All right. Come on, man.
Ever tell you about the curling loaf?
No.
I never told you about this?
Curling loaf?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
What's a curling loaf?
Years ago, when I was doing curling, we were in Italy. Torino, Italy. And it was in this, I guess, town of Pinerolo. That's where they were holding the curling. And there was this bakery that created these loaves of bread that looked like curling stones. The problem is, so you know what a curling stone looks like? It's round. It's got a handle. Mm-hmm. But the problem was the handle was also made out of dough and baked. And it was when it was baked, it looked like a phallic device. It looked like a sex toy is what it looked like, the handle on the bread, on the loaf.
Oh.
So every time
it wasn't fully connected. That handle's not fully connected.
No, it is.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean from both sides. It's not connected.
No, not from both sides. Right.
Yeah. So that's what it looks like. Okay, I got you.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so we had the president of the Scottish Curling Association on as a guest. And we said, guests of our curling here at NBC receive our official curling loaf from the bakery in Pinerolo. And we bring this thing out of the box on TV, and we put it down, and it looks like this round loaf of bread with a sexual device in it. And the guy looks at me, and he says, ooh, a wee bit sexy, don't you think?
I'm the host of curling.
Thank you. Curling loaf was the funniest thing we ever did at curling. People really enjoyed those. The curling loaf. The curling loaf.
Exciting times in the world of curling, Fred.
I think you were being sarcastic, Rodney.
A little bit.
I sensed a bit of sarcasm.
A little bit.
Okay. Let's bring out a guy that's never been accused of being a loafer. Our buddy Nick Hamilton. Nick, how are you?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Nick, did you enjoy that story by Fred about the loaf?
It's always good story time with Uncle Fred.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, Nick, we want to play.
Fred, I will say that though, Fred, you got some crazy ass stories though. You really do. From demolition derby to, you know, working with animals and all the things, man, just ought to be home videos of Fred and his interviews and his jobs and who you interviewed and what you interviewed over the years. Because, man, you should have a book and a documentary out there, Fred.
No, well, I'd never write a book because I'd never really want to tell the truth. So that would be bad because the people would fact check it. I don't need people digging that deep into things. You know, we've all had a past, and that's where it stays, in the past. So I don't need to bring that up right now. Okay, Nick, listen, we want to play some audio now of Jeannie Buss. She was on Joe Buck's podcast, and Jeannie Buss was talking about why she made the decision ultimately to make a change in the Lakers front office.
My brother was changing coaches every 18 months. And okay, sometimes you have to make coaching changes. I get that. But when you go from a coach like Mike Brown, whose emphasis was defense, to a coach like Mike D'Antoni, who really doesn't worry so much about defense, thinks they don't know what direction are you going. You should be able to see a pathway as to you hire a coach, you give him the players that play his style of basketball, and then the rest, you know, you make decisions that follow the decision before, and you can see a path. I had to assert my authority, and then that's when it went to court because we had to make sure that who was given the authority had the authority and to make that change. And, he wasn't happy with that decision.
No, I would think not. He was compensated, but he wasn't happy. You know, think about this for a second. If you've lost a loved one, if you're a parent, you've lost a child, it's terrible. If you're a child and you lose a parent, it is devastating. And here she is. She lost her father. And I don't want to say she was daddy's girl, but she certainly was very close to her dad. She lost her dad. She has to deal with the emotion of that. Then she is thrust into running the operation. Then she has to fire her brother. Then they have to go to court and fight about it. What an incredibly difficult decision that had to be, Rodney.
Yeah, and I think all the way through, she's handled it unbelievably. She's been great. It's not easy when you're dealing with family. I mean, we all know how family can get sometimes when it comes to especially money or property or finances or anything like that. But the one thing that Dr. Buss did, he made it clear that she was in charge. And I think that, you know, as mad or upset her brothers may have been, it was clear that he wanted her to take over and have the ultimate decision if there was friction. And remember, Fred, you know this as well as I do. And, you know, Jeannie's a very smart person, but Jeannie also is smart enough to get advice from other people. And don't think for a second that she did not have, you know, the Jerry West or you know, Magic Johnson of the world as her confidant talking to her about things and she running things by people along the way to ultimately make her decision and the decision that had to be made, because look where the Lakers are now.
What do you think?
No, that's I mean, that's true. First and foremost, before I go any further, let me say rest in peace to George Floyd. Secondly, yes, I will say that Jeannie Buss is incredibly intelligent. I mean, she has done gone through some tremendous things. Like you said, you mentioned the death of her late great dad. You mentioned all of the stress she had to endure going through court, going through lawyers and things of that nature, just to get control of a team that her father built up and made it a respectable name globally. So she's absolutely right. I mean, when you can't change coaches as many times as you change draws. There's no direction. There's no leadership.
That's underwear for you, Fred.
But I mean, when you look at what the direction and when the Lakers were going, she's right. We didn't know what direction the Lakers were going in. We didn't know if they were up, down, left, or right. So to me, I've always said that Jeannie Buss was the best thing to happen to the Lakers as far as ownership, because she guided that team back to where they are right now. But during those dark times, you know, she had to go through the Mike No D'Antoni. And to me, I've always said Mike No D'Antoni had ruined that Lakers franchise and really ruined Kobe Bryant, because he ran him into the ground, which helped cause the Achilles injury.
No, you can't do that, Nick. You can't.
Come on, Fred. No, you know he ran that. You know he ran that man into the ground with all those minutes he was
forced to
play.
There's only one thing he was tasked with, and that was winning. If Kobe gives us our best, all right. So we're not going to win tonight. We're not going to play Kobe as much. Is that going to work? He's the coach. He's paid to win. The players are paid to play.
But how come that didn't happen under Mike Brown's watch? And Kobe played the same way under Mike Brown's watch. There was no issue with that.
Yep, different time. Different time. Different watch. Different approach. Mike Brown, a defensive coach. Mike D'Antoni, offensive coach.
Well, if you want to call him that. But sure, yeah, I get that. But like I said, I still believe that he aided in that situation happening. Be that as it may, Jeannie Buss is absolutely right. She had to get control of the team. Look where the Lakers are right now. You were able to get LeBron James. You were able to get Anthony Davis. You were able to get a team in place where now, if we're going to have a season moving forward, we could be hoisting up the 17, you know, their 17th trophy at some point. So to go from no direction to having a direction again, Jeannie Buss is absolutely brilliant and a great owner.
I can't believe, and think about this, if you have a sibling, I can't believe it would get to a point where you would have to go to court to sue your own brother or sister and then find yourself in a position where you had to fire them. I mean, just think about that. Think about anybody with a family and you have kids, or you're one of the kids, and there's that kind of squabble. And you're,
well, Fred, I mean, let's be honest. It happens a lot when family members and legacies go down, taking over businesses. It doesn't have to just be sports, but in businesses in general, when it's handed down through from the patriarch or or someone down to the kids, then there will naturally be some tension and some fights, and sometimes you got to solve it legally, and that's why it's always, you know, best to have a plan with it, which is, you know, it's never easy, but the plan was Jeannie was in charge. She had to eventually go to court, but she was, by her father and the way he set it up, she was in charge.
No,
but
I get that.
Fights are not out of the ordinary.
Yeah, and this one was played out on a very large stage,
right,
obviously.
Right, yeah.
Huge. It was, I mean, this was normally, when you have court cases, they're pretty much behind the scenes, and they're pretty much, you know, we don't really know too much until after the case has already been resolved.
And she came out, and she came out looking great in this. The brothers looked bad in the whole thing.
As they should have, because they almost destroyed that franchise. Thank God for Jeannie Buss having the strength enough to get the right people behind her to take this team, this Laker franchise, back to where it was before, because they would have destroyed this team.
Yeah. Speaking of the Lakers, Markieff Morris says, if the Lakers and Clippers were to meet in the NBA Finals, Markieff says the Lakers would win in 4 games. Marcus Morris, his twin brother, says it'd be a 7-game series. The final game would be a blowout, and the Clippers would win. Which Morris brother is right, Markieff or Marcus?
No, Marcus is closer to being right. I don't know about a blowout in game 7, but certainly to say they would sweep the Lakers. I know they're twins. Which one was born first?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe Markieff has a gripe. Because the older brother, you know what I mean? The older brother is the more sensible one. This would go 7 games, at least 6. There's no sweep involved in this series at all. So, Markieff is a little off. Right? I get being confident, but come on, you got to be realistic too.
Well, I'm going to go with Marcus. I think Marcus is a little bit more realistic. I'm not going to say anything against either one of these brothers, because I have seen the way they like to get down off the court, and I'm not trying to be a victim of any one of those dudes. So I'm going to be very careful how I choose my words and say I think Marcus is a little bit more realistic when it comes to the series between the Clippers and the Lakers. I would say maybe the Clippers may have a slight edge in Game 7. I don't know, especially with it being a neutral site now. I'm going to have to, you know, I have to say maybe the Clippers have a slight edge. But then again, I don't see any blowouts in any game in this series. I think it's going to be tight down the stretch. I think it's going to be some memorable games that we have been anticipating for a very long time in the city of L.A. and outside and in the whole NBA community.
I don't know, Kevin, and maybe you have the answer on this. Has Markieff and Marcus ever played on the same team?
Yes, they played together at Kansas. Oh, college.
No, I'm talking about in the pros.
Yeah, well, they were drafted together in Phoenix.
Did they play together in Phoenix?
Yes.
Kevin. All right. Well, I'm sorry I brought it up then, Kevin.
Sorry. I thought everybody knew.
No, I didn't
Kevin
know they
got
were...
the sharp edges out today.
I mean, good Lord, I just asked a question.
I just thought everyone knew.
I just thought, did they ever play together as a pro? And I just wanted an answer, Kevin. Because I'm sitting here thinking it'd be great if they were on the same team here.
Yes, they
did. I'd have to bite my head off. That's one damn question.
Oh, man.
I just thought it was one of those things that everyone knew.
First, you cheat with Ronnie.
Hold on.
And know your squad.
Time out.
Oh, Lord.
And now this.
I'm a lot of things. Cheater is not one of them.
Okay. Contributor to the result.
Not true at all.
Okay.
By the way, Kevin, thank you for the answer.
What?
I'm kidding. You see?
Jeez.
No, you know
it's
what?
It's incoming on me.
In all honesty, Kevin's been great.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Kevin's been great.
All right, Damian Lillard says, by the way, he doesn't want to play if there's nothing to play for, but he'd be all in on a play-in tournament. All in. Now, I don't know how that affects everybody else, because I think the other day we mentioned the fact that if the NBA just starts with the playoffs, you've got teams on the outside looking in. We also know that the NBA, theoretically, would like to get to 70 games for everybody because that's when regional television money gets all paid off. But how do you have a play-in tournament with certain teams while other teams don't get to play for the right to play? You know what I mean?
No. Explain.
Okay. If you've got these teams playing right now in the play-in tournament, they get
Who's in the play-in tournament?
Well, it'd be Portland. It'd be,
so it'd be
New Orleans.
The ninth team and 10th team and the 8th team, who's in the playoff? Who's in the playoff?
Well, Sacramento, too. You have to ask Sacramento because they're all kind of locked up between Portland, New Orleans, and Sacramento.
No, we'll just leave Sacramento out.
What? Wow.
General principles.
I mean, I'm saying, how are they choosing the play-in? Is it just seven, the teams that are at 7th, 8th, and right outside the edge of
right.
9 and 10?
In other words, how many games back are you? If you're this many games back, you get to go into the play-in tournament. See, that's the problem, Rodney. That's why there shouldn't be a play-in tournament. That's the problem. How are you determining it? Who gets to be in? Who gets to be out?
And if you're on the outside looking in, sure you want to play in tournament. Absolutely you want to play in tournament. If you're sitting at number 7 and you got to be in a play-in tournament, you don't want to play. You're already in. Why would you want to play in tournament?
Right. So Damian Lillard would be good with that. Damian Lillard, they're talking about this, kind of like pool play in international competition. What, Kevin? Was that going to be an it's lit?
It was going to be a good call, bad call.
It was?
Yep.
Damn. Again?
You did that on purpose, didn't you?
Yeah, you did.
I didn't have that one.
All right.
All right, fine.
No, it's cool. It's cool. It's my fault. It is my fault.
No, right. Forget it. It's that kind of day. Just go to break, Ryan.
Yeah,
just
you're
going
to have to label them better for Fred there, Kevin.
I'm getting yelled at again today.
AM 570.
And Rodney. AM 570 LA Sports.
Well, I guess we'll have good call, bad call next. And we'll talk about if LeBron should be the MVP. Should I not do that one too, Kevin?
That one's fine.
Okay.
Run DMC, Fred.
I know.
Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan, Nick Hamilton hanging out with us this hour.
Yeah, yay.
Fred, did you settle that beef with you and Kevin in the break?
Oh, we talked about it.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. We. You know what? I spit some truth.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was hoping, man, y'all were gonna go and catch a fade after the show. So I'm glad
you're spitting. All right, you saw. I was like 50 feet away from you. I was like, stay the hell we're talking. Jeez.
We have distancing here too, right?
Sylvester over here just spitting left and right.
Jeez. he was suckering succotash on you.
Yeah, like jeez. Okay.
Yeah, well, you heard
cooler heads prevail.
No, you heard Nick. He didn't want you and I to go fade after the show.
Nah.
The only fade I need is a haircut because I haven't had one in 2 months. So.
Really?
Yes.
Your hair didn't look any longer to me.
Oh, that's because I have it waved down and pressed down with the wave cap and all that. So if I combed it out, I'd have an afro.
Too much to explain, Kevin.
A little
just
much,
keep it
yeah. If I combed my hair out, Fred, I'd have a giant afro right now.
Oh, you would?
Yes.
Fred, you ever had waves?
Pardon me?
Exactly.
No, I think one night I did have waves. That's the night. No.
Can you imagine Fred with a wave cap on at night?
Oh, I can imagine.
No, No. I'm serious, Rodney. I think I know what you're talking about. That's the time I was playing Call of Duty and got vertigo, and I got real dizzy and had to go to the hospital, and I felt as if I was waving. Is that what you mean?
Not even close, Fred. You know what? I'm going to bring in one of my wave caps. And then
my goodness. Can you please give him one, Kevin? Because you know, Fred and I are Skyping each other when we do the show. I need to see him in a wave cap for one of these shows.
You know, we'll try it out on radio, see how it goes. Maybe we'll send it out on our social media, and if it goes over well, maybe you can talk to NBC and you can wear it for your sports report there, Fred.
Well, listen,
Rodney, you got to give me a picture of that. Please.
Oh yes.
No, I'll consider it. I don't even know what it is, so I will consider it.
Okay.
Yeah, bring one in tomorrow.
Oh, you got my it. Goodness.
Yeah, I'll wear it. I don't care.
Love it. I love it.
I mean, during this time of pandemic, it's time for all of us to look at each other and look at ourselves and not be afraid to explore new things. I look at things very differently now.
Oh, no, it's good. You can look at Colleen. Colleen, you ever been seasick before? She says no, and you take off the cap and you say, how about now?
Okay, there you go.
That's how you hit her.
Full
that's
shizzle.
How you do it. That's right.
Oh yeah, you know what? That's a good point. That Kevin, that's how I'm gonna hit.
Yes. I've got street
Fred. Yes, Fred. You and Kevin, you got to make sure he does have all the vernacular that goes along with waves and wave cap. Absolutely.
I got the sporting waves working for you too. Yes. All that. Yeah. Oh, you'll be all set, brother.
You know me.
Oh man, Fred, you carry it in the back pocket. Carry it in the back pocket like you're carrying some tobacco, Fred.
Well, Nick, you know I got like 5 brushes. I got a brush in the car, the backpack, the overnight bag. I got brushes on deck. Don't worry about it.
Kevin wants to spray Fred with some Soul Glow.
Oh, that's a different animal.
Nah,
you know?
TCB.
We got Eric Dirkus can help you with that one, Fred. We'll get Eric to help you with the Soul Glow.
What's going to happen?
That's outside of my area of expertise, right there.
What's going to happen if I get Soul Glow?
Cue up the song, Kevin.
Right.
Yeah.
Just make sure nobody's walking behind you. They might slip and fall. I'll just put it that way.
Where do I spray it?
Everywhere.
I'm serious.
Everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere.
All right. In generous amounts.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to do the wave cap and the Soul Glow.
Yeah.
And carry some tobacco in my back pocket, Rodney.
No, you carry the sporting waves in the back pocket like tobacco.
Oh.
The can. You got to carry the can. It got to be a black can, too. Yep. Fred, it's the black can, not the tan one.
Okay. All right, well, that'll be tomorrow. Good. We'll look forward to that.
Here we go. What the hell are you? I'm getting text right now. Like, oh, my God.
What is...
I want to see Fred in the wave cap.
Hashtag Fred's wave cap.
Check me out tomorrow. We'll put it up on Twitter, Kevin, tomorrow.
Oh, Lord. Look what you started,
Perfect.
Kevin.
All right, we'll do it. By the way, we just got word. JT Daniels, you know. He was replaced by Keaton Slovis at USC.
Yep.
And he entered the transfer portal. To Clay Helton's credit, he did say he's entered the transfer portal, but we'd like him to stay. I mean, that doesn't mean he's not going to pick USC. Actually, yes, it does mean he's not going to pick USC. He's going to Georgia. You think that's a good move, Rodney?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the writing on the wall that you know, it's going to be Slovis's job to probably lose. I don't, you know, it's hard to believe that it'd be going into, you know, even competition going back into the fall. But, you know, I think if there's any time to do it, probably right now is the best time because he has time to kind of get acclimated. We still don't know what's going to happen. Does he get to sit out a full year?
I don't know.
These kids that transfer, do they get to buy a year to sit out and kind of see what happens.
I'm trying to remember, Kevin. I know the rule was changed. Do you have to sit a year now?
I believe if someone in his situation, you would, but I know there was talk about a one-year transfer rule for specifically for this season for people to be immediately eligible. I'm not exactly sure where that sits right now. It is my belief as of now he would have to sit a year, but I'll double check on that.
All right. Well,
yeah, that couldn't hurt him.
Well,
he
no.
Sit,
no,
that's what I'm saying.
It couldn't hurt him if he sat.
It can only help
another
him.
Year.
Isn't it interesting, though? I mean, he was the guy coming out of modern day. They
well, he was the number one quarterback in the country, right? Yep. I mean, he was the guy.
Yeah, he was.
Him and St. Brown, yeah. They lit it up at modern day and always wanted to be a Trojan and the whole deal. And you know, circumstances don't always go according to plan. And, you know, happened to be another guy out of Arizona that nobody really, you know, talked about a whole lot. And he lit it up when he got his opportunity. And that's the way sports are. You deal with it.
Why didn't he, when he was at USC, I mean, and he was fine before he got hurt. He was fine. But he didn't explode as people thought. And was that just a function, Rodney, of, I mean, the guy's a freshman. Give him some time. Or did you believe after watching him he wasn't going to be quite what they anticipated?
Well, you know, I if you also remember – and I heard a lot of people, you know, local folks that, you know, kind of knew the competition around town talked about how, you know, modern day when he was there was so loaded. They were so loaded with talent that they ran through everybody and things came very easy. Not to take away that he wasn't talented, but, you know, he had receivers running 10 yards behind guys and guys running wide open and they just dominated everybody they played. Was it going to translate to the next level and blow people away? And I think the hype was so much there for him that people were expecting him to come in and just be Superman. And, you know, when you started, I don't care who you are, you started as a true freshman coming from high, making that jump from high school to college, the game is so much faster, especially at quarterback. Receivers can make the adjustment. You know, defensive players can make the adjustment, but quarterback, the game moves so much faster for you, so it takes time to kind of get going. But I just think and his stature physically, he didn't blow you away.
Right.
He didn't blow you away with his arm strength. He didn't blow you away with his running athletic ability. He didn't blow you away with any aspect. He was solid, but he didn't blow you away and go, wow, this kid's got a unbelievable arm. Or this kid, oh, my God, look at his athletic ability, his escapability, the way he can run. He didn't do it away. So that part of it is kind of like, I think, what people expected out of such a high-profile guy coming out of high school.
I mean, he was overhyping and he was underdeveloped. I mean, when you got a kid, like you said, Roddy, that was loaded to the gills at modern day, and each level gets faster. Obviously, the collegiate level gets faster, and if you make it to the pros, obviously, that's even faster. But for this kid, it was so much enormous pressure on this kid as well to be the guy. He wasn't ready to take on that role. And you can't force a person to be a leader that's not ready to be a leader or naturally a leader. You can't force it. Either it's there or it's not. And for him, I mean, I think JT Daniels was still wet behind the ears. I think he was still being adapting to the new college life. And at the same time, I think he was a decent quarterback, but I don't think he was the quarterback that they were hoping he was going to turn out to be. And I think this Clay Helton was just desperate to get somebody in there to try to hopefully save his job, because he knew he was on the hot seat at that time. And fortunately, you know, Slovis was right behind to pick up the slack once JT went down and never looked back. So I think it's a good thing for JT to move on to Georgia. He can sit down, pick some splinters out his behind, be on clipboard duty, and kind of learn the game from a different angle and maybe under a different coaching staff that can help him progress.
And who sometimes knows? You know, that is like what a lot of people need from time to time. When you've gone through, you know, which I'm sure he has, growing up being the guy, you know, for so long, and all of a sudden you get humbled, it makes you look at the game and what you're doing in a different light and different perspective. Even this past year, sitting on the sideline and watching the success of Slovis and how he was able to move the team. And you know, one thing you can't coach either, you know, Nick talk about things you can't, you know, you can't teach, either have it or don't, is, you know, charisma, those intangibles. Those are things that you either have or you don't. And I, you know, I like I said, I don't know the kid that well. I'm not his teammate. I'm not at practice every single day. But you felt like Slovis had a little bit of something to him in terms of intangibles, in terms of the charisma that JT Daniels didn't quite have.
Kevin, did you get more on that transfer rule?
Yeah, I did. So that transfer rule that the NCAA has been discussing, it's not active until 2021. So JT would have to sit out this year. Anybody that leaves a school in great academic standing next year, they will be eligible to play that very next season that they transfer in.
Hey, Rodney, I just want to tell you, you know who I see?
Who?
I see the P.
You see the P?
I see Petros.
The old P?
Yeah, the old P. Say hello, old P.
Hi, guys.
How you doing, P?
What's up, old P?
I'm good. I don't have my headphones on.
So you can't
hear. You don't want to hear Fred anyway.
I could read your lips. I can't hear Rodney.
Oh, okay. Well, you said hello.
Where are you? Hi, Rodney.
Hello, P.
Daniels, huh? Georgia.
Georgia, man.
Well, what do you think about that, P?
Well, they got three other transfers that are coming in. A guy from Nevada who is just moving back for family reasons, kind of like the USC DB coach. And then they have a guy who transferred from Wake who's supposed to start this year, a graduate transfer. And then they have a four-star guy who's leaving, who's an early entry guy. So he'll compete, you know, which is not really what he did at SC much. So we'll see. You know, there's not a lot of people in the SEC media that are going to apologize for JT the way we did here. So it'll be interesting. You know, it's going to be wild. I wish him luck. I want to see him win the job.
A little snarky, P. A little snarky, P.
Well, what do you expect? Hey, do you go to the swamp and not expect to see an alligator?
Now, tell him I said this. Tell P, you spot on. You know, P was just being real about what's going down.
I mean, look, this guy, the guys who have won jobs and been great at USC over the last few years have been, you know, not the the number one quarterback in the country recruit type of guy. It's been the guy from Bakersfield, Kessler. It's been Sam Darnold, you know, out of nowhere at San Clemente. It's been Keaton Slovis, who was even more unlikely than those two. So, and that doesn't set up for a guy like JT or even a Matt Barkley, you know, the Gatorade player of the year, literally coming into a place like USC. You know, Rodney knows how to compete for a job, for God's sakes, you know, but some of these guys in high school these days, they don't do it. Trevor Lawrence, you know, the best looking quarterback we've seen. He fought for that job at Clemson, and I think he won it. But there's still controversy about it. Bryce Young, the kid from that's at Alabama, from Mater Dei. Man, he's going to be in a battle as a freshman. And I think that makes a better player, you know. And I hope JT gets that straightened out. I think he's going there to compete, so I commend him.
Yeah, and I said it. You know, he probably grew up as the guy. Going, you know, through his whole career as the guy and never really had to do that and was loaded at modern day. And then all of a sudden, there comes the defensive players. That window to complete the ball is a little bit different than it was in high school. And there's some challenges. And he got hit in the face a little bit with some of those challenges. I don't think he played horrible. He got thrown into the fire a little bit. But again, those intangibles is not something that you saw out of him. And maybe he still has them and was going to show them, but he got hurt. So we'll see.
I mean, at Rodney P. Guy. On Twitter. At Fred NBCLA.
Rogan and Rodney.
All right. Should LeBron be the MVP? We got Durant. We'll get back on track next.
Who to follow?
I will be the voice of your followers.
I will follow!
All right, let's go. We got today's Who to Follow.
Yes.
And it's
the Who we following?
The Day in Sports Clips, which you can follow on Twitter at TDIS Sports Clips. It delivers what promises as it posts photos and videos of sports moments that happened on each day of the year from various points in history. Last Friday example, posted a highlight package of former Dodger Sean Green hitting four homers in the win over Milwaukee, May 23rd, 2002. Sean was on the show, Rodney, talked about that, remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Earlier today, the account posted a montage of Warrior guard Klay Thompson. He scored 41 in an overtime playoff win over Oklahoma City on May 28th of 2016. Again, you can follow the Day in Sports Clips on Twitter at TDI Sports Clips.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
All right, let's get to good call, bad call. But don't forget, after Instagram Live tonight at 5 with Max Muncy, don't miss Dodger Talk at 6 with David Vassay and Dodger Replay at 7. The game features Max Muncy's 2019 walk-off homer to beat the Blue Jays in the 10th. Dodger Replay brought to you by Children's Hospital of L.A. Your child's health is essential. Who should be the MVP this season? Well, you can make the argument the Greek Freak's having a hell of a year. You can make that argument. I think a lot of people nationally would make that argument. In Los Angeles, though, I think you look at it a bit differently. Given what LeBron James has done for the Lakers this year, maybe he should be the MVP. I'll tell you one person who thinks so, Damian Lillard. He said, the Lakers are the number one team in the West. LeBron leading the way despite the age he's at with the amount of miles that has been on his body. He's the MVP. Now, before I ask you if it's a good call or a bad call for LeBron to be the MVP, I'm going to discount part of what Damian Lillard said for the purpose of the argument, because I don't think it should have anything to do with at his age or the amount of miles on his body. The question is, whatever age he is, however many miles he has on his body, should he be the MVP? Rodney, is that a good call or a bad call for LeBron to be the MVP?
I think it's a good call. I think you prefaced it right, though. There are a lot of people believe that the Greek Freak probably is the guy who's having an unbelievable season. But I think when you think about all that LeBron does for the Lakers, I believe he's, you know, when we stopped, he was leading the league in assists. I believe he was, you know, he's right up there in minutes. He hasn't missed many games this year. You can't deny the impact that he has had this year. And then you contrast that to last year, even though, you know, numbers-wise it was good, but the impact wasn't there. The impact that he's had on this Laker team has been phenomenal, how he's been able to adjust his role in several different situations. To me, yes, if we voted today, he would be the MVP for me.
What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I think he's definitely the MVP. I mean, you saw what he's done from the time that this season started, and he's gradually increased and gotten better throughout the course of the year. I mean, LeBron James, like Rodney said, leads the league in assists, but also he is that leader of that team. And you can see it, and you can see the ripple effect. So LeBron James is definitely the MVP. Plus, a lot of people, I think, nationally want to give LeBron more credit than they're saying, because we all are prisoners of the moment, and we witnessed the last several games before the season came to an abrupt halt. We saw what he did and how he took down the Greek Freak and the Bucks, as well as the Clippers and Kawhi. So I think those significant games kind of elevated him into the conversation stronger by being the MVP this season.
What do you think, Fred?
I think it's the MVP. I think it's a battle I'll lose.
You think it's a battle you'll lose or he'll lose?
Yeah, I think we'll both lose it, he and I. Because I think nationally they think Giannis is the MVP. I think he's having a great year. And I think that, you know, it's weird about LeBron. He's doing now what people expected him to do when he got here. So even though it is a terrific year, I think in the minds of voters, it's not spectacular, because that's what he's supposed to do. That being said, Giannis is just, you know, he's a monster. And I think people will vote for him. I think nationally he will win it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the emotional vote goes to LeBron, and when it's all said and done, we'll see. Speaking of staying with the NBA could resume with group stage, along with the idea of having a play-in tournament for the bottom seeds. The NBA could also be considering a World Cup group stage tournament involving the top 20 teams. According to Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, the top 20 teams in the league, based on their current record, would qualify. Then they would be sectioned off into four tiers. Tier 1 would feature the four teams with the four best records in the league, while Tier 4 would feature teams with the worst four records in the pool. Teams would play opponents within their own groups twice, meaning every team would play 8 games. The two teams in each group with the best record would move on. Good call or bad call for the NBA to adopt this World Cup structure when play resumes?
Great call. I love it. Let's go. I love it.
Why?
The only reason I love it is because it's different. It's unique.
Just a contrarian.
Yeah, I am. I want things to be shaken up. Fine, let's do that. Let's take a shot at it.
Wait, so let me get this straight.
All right.
Not to break up your answer, but to get this straight.
Yep.
You put the teams in tiers, and you put four best teams are in one tier.
No, what you would do is you take in pool play. All right, let's do this. Four best teams are in different pools.
They're in different pools. They're not in the same tier, the same pool.
No.
Okay.
No.
Because then they would just, the best teams would cancel themselves out, and that wouldn't be fair.
Right. So you put the four best teams in pools. Second best four, third best four, fourth best four. And then they play it out. One plays four, two plays three. Right? And then you have the championship. You come out of it, and you advance. I like that plan. It's different. Anything that's different from what it is, I'm in. And I don't care what it is. We can shake it all up right now. So let's shake it up and try something different. I think it would generate a lot of excitement.
Nick?
I think it's a bad call. Leave it alone. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. People are still going to watch the NBA playoffs, regardless if it's the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference playoffs. People are still going to watch. People are still going to be engaged. Leave it alone. Certain things don't need to be changed. Or rules need to be bent or mended, yes, but doing this is ridiculous. It has no means, it has no bearing on who's going to come out better in the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference to represent. We're still going to get a great finals regardless. So just leave it alone. Stop trying to bend and move everything.
Yes, I agree with you. I think it's a horrible call, Fred. Change is not always good for the sake of change. You don't just do change. All you're doing is feeding the people out there that said, that would say, this year, whoever's crowned champion, do you need to put an asterisk by it? The more you change it, it more feeds into that argument. Why do that? Keep as much the same as you possibly can so people don't have a chance to say that, oh, they went to some crazy format in 2020 and they had this pool play trying to be like the World Cup and so-and-so won. Do we really want to count that? Nah. Let's go back to the old format. Seven-game series. That's how we've done it. That's what makes it legit. So I'm against it. Bad call.
Yeah, Freddie. But we don't know what makes it legit. What if they went to this? And they probably won't. But what if they went to this? And people went, wow, that was great. It worked.
Yeah, but people would say, when you had a chance to do it the old way and keep it the same way, and you changed it up for this year, people say, well, that's an outlier year. That's an asterisk on that championship.
No, but
they went it the right way.
Rodney, what I'm saying is maybe after they do it that way this year, they change it permanently. Why can't you change things? Why does everything have to be the same every year? Why?
It works, Fred. It works.
Oh,
this,
it
this
does.
Format actually it works.
You know, you guys are the get off my lawn guys, and I thought I was.
I'll stop
this
it.
This guy, Fred, come
stop
on.
Stop it.
Change it. No one gets hurt. Change it. And maybe you look at it and go, that was pretty exciting. Or maybe you think it was a complete dud. Okay, but this is the one year you can actually change something and experiment and look at it. Try. Somebody's still going to be the champ. Somebody's still going to win. You hope it's the Lakers or Clippers. Somebody's still going to win. But try stuff. It's okay, baseball. It's okay to put everybody, the West in the West, the Central in the Central, the East in the East. It's okay. Try different things. Don't do it the same way. You don't have to. You know, you sit and you wait and everybody, the world changes. People evolve. It's all right to be different.
You want to go to ending? You got to, let's put in the 4-point shot this postseason.
Right. Let's imply the big three rules. Let's do the 4-point shot and then let's do. Yeah, come on. I mean, where does this stop? I mean, I understand about the All-Star game changing, and that was great. But when this is something that actually matters, that actually counts, you can't afford to be tinkering and trying to be experimental when something is as great as the NBA championship is at stake. It's not going to, because somebody's going to get screwed. There's going to be too much controversy. There's going to be people having backlash and saying, well, if this team would, if they would have changed this format here, this team would have had a better chance of advancing over this other team. It's too much going on. You can't experiment with something this serious as the NBA championship.
And it'd be one thing, as Nick said, it'd be one thing if it wasn't working. We get excited for the NBA playoffs and have been for a while. So why are we going to mess with that? That is the most exciting time of the NBA season. And it works, Fred. It works. Why do you want to change something that works?
You know what you both said? The 4-point shot, right? You both mentioned that. Is that fair? Rodney, you mentioned the 4-point shot. So
did
you, right, Nick?
Yes. Yes.
Well, good. Now you agree with me.
866-987-2570. This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, we have an update on something that happened earlier. It involves the wave. We'll explain.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.